This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.
Kia ora, welcome to House Guest, where we chat with the awesome people and groups making a difference in our community, all from our non-profit home base at Dunedin Community House.
Well, Rob Veal served in New Zealand Police for 30 years, with the majority of his service leading national policy and practice development in the area of family violence and violence reduction. Since retiring from police back in 2008, Rob's continued working in the family violence sector, and we're catching up with him this morning as a house guest to find out a little bit more about that work. Rob, kia ora, nice to have you with us.
Kia ora, Jeff, and good morning to your listeners.
Rob, you've had a very extensive career with police, and no doubt in that time learnt a lot about the family violence situation and the factors that contribute to it here in New Zealand. And I guess when you made that decision to move away from police, it was, what do you do with all of that knowledge?
That was my challenge. I started my career in Dunedin. I was down there for 6 years from 1977. Seems like a lot years away. I was also down in South Otago for a while, so I've got a soft spot for the South. I did about 15 years in my family violence role in at a national and international level. And I would have to give a lot of credit for the experience I got from a number of the other agencies I worked with, particularly the NGOs. They gave a completely, a very different lens and a particular focus on the world of victim experience and things like that, that sometimes you get a different lens from a policing perspective. So I owe lots of people a lot of credit, and I got to the time of my life where I think it's time for me to give back and try and make some information available at a reasonable cost. And that's sort of why I use venues like Community House rather than more commercial venues. And I find that they, one with their cost and their work with communities, I find them a great place to actually hold meetings for public education.
So, Rob, you conduct family violence presentations and workshops around the country. What is the nature generally of those workshops?
Well, I don't know what your R rating is on the program, but I did 30 odd years in the police, and I did another 8.5 working at the local DHB here. I think they call it Te Whati Ora now, or Health New Zealand, in Wellington. And it got to the stage where I thought, let's go out. I was getting approached by a number of the people that I used to work with. And there was a piece of legislation coming through in 2018 around strangulation in the context of family violence. And I had quite a bit of experience introducing some of those that information to police back from early in the 2000s. So I was asked to do some lectures around that, and that's where it sort of started. I've probably run about 400 sessions on that topic, with primarily community agencies from a public health perspective. Back in the day, I would have thought about it from a law enforcement perspective, but I've found the focus from a community health perspective, I've found it really humbling, to be quite honest, the engagement you get from NGOs and a lot of other people you meet from Kaitaia to Invercargill. And then from there, I got into things like more basic family violence training, signs, symptoms, how to have challenging conversations from a practice perspective, risk and risk assessment, safety planning. And I've got the latest session I'm looking at. Really, it was a bit scary for me because I like to try and stick in a lane. But a number of the group said, Rob, can you give us some update on stalking? Because that's legislation currently going through the House. So probably a number of my later sessions have been on stalking, which I'm learning a lot more about from different presentations. I knew about it in police, but I didn't know some of the stuff I know now.
I guess, Rob, you're getting people coming along to your workshops with a range of reasons to want to learn more here. Some of them will be very much frontline people whose clients might well be experiencing family violence, and they're looking for some strategies around how to help them navigate their way through that. Others might have other reasons to be there.
That's absolutely correct. I know we're limited in time and I talk too much, which people will know. The thing I've found is that I always do all of my sessions face-to-face. I do that because of the potentially triggering nature of the topics that I talk about. So, yes, a lot of people come along with their work hat on, their agency hat on, but I sort of have a philosophy of presenting information and sharing information that people that attend can share with anyone that they care about, because I can't make... You just don't know where the information will land for mums and grandmas and uncles and aunties and all of those sorts of things. So I get personal disclosures about the difference the information makes from a wide variety of people. Primarily they are there from work, but people come, for example, in one session I did on stalking, I sent out a flyer. I got 30 registrations in 6 hours. Every one of them was from a woman. I get to my sessions early, and the first four that walked in the door, I always tease them a little bit by saying, oh, why did you come today? All four of them had been victims of this sort of stuff. So it sort of sets you back a bit to think, what the hang is going on? So I'm there with my experience and academic view, but these people have got lived experience. So I try as best I can, how do you actually keep these people safe in these sorts of situations, which I take that's probably my number one objective. Give them some good information to help others, keeping them safe in class.
Rob, it would be easy to feel a little dispirited perhaps when we look at the incidence of family violence in Aotearoa New Zealand. It doesn't appear that the problem is being reduced, but could that be also because more people are disclosing, more people are having the conversations that you're encouraging?
Yeah, I think, it's I've had that question for 30 years. Is family violence getting worse, with increased reports? Is with the police, it used to be called SIPs back in the day, ran major campaigns. Then we've had, nationwide campaigns, Not Okay campaign. So there's been lots of investment in raising public awareness. Reports to police have gone from 15 to 20 to probably closer to 30% now of what's happening out there. So yes, there's a lot more reporting, but also a lot more work to do. And I don't want to get too political, but I'm particularly concerned when I go around the country and see the number of cuts to frontline services, particularly from organisations dealing with vulnerable parents, usually mums, and what the researchers would call the first 1,000 days, so dealing with mums with vulnerable little ones. And those services have really been taking a hammering in many parts of the country I go to. So I find that while some agencies are not too bad, many of the frontline services I speak to are not in good shape, probably because of the economic environment.
Ever-changing environment for those organisations. And I guess from your perspective, Rob, you've got the courses that you've been going up and down the country with, and information that you readily are obviously prepared to repeat. Are you also in a position to be able to sort of tailor a workshop to meet a particular organisation or community's needs?
Yeah, I'm going up to Auckland in a couple of months' time. The restorative justice coordinators want me to do a presentation. So I can tailor any of the courses for various organisations, and that's actually quite useful. But also having community groups like the one I'm running in Dunedin, I think on the Monday the 25th, it's a shortened version just on on strangulation. There's also real advantages in having a wider group rather than just one organisation in the room for networking. I've found since COVID we've lost a lot of social connectedness. And again, it's sort of humbling when you go to organisations and somebody leans over to one of the other participants and said, "Oh, you're so-and-so. I've emailed you, but I haven't met you yet." There's a lot of churn in the family violence sector, but there's also a lot of Zoom meetings, emails, and not a lot of face-to-face. And, you know, social connectedness, I think, is one of the things, particularly for people working in this area to actually support each other across agencies. I find that particularly useful, and that's why I always do face-to-face.
Speaking of agencies and those who might be interested in these workshops, Rob, I guess, you know, we could easily point to some where, you know, it's pretty clear that some training in this area would be of benefit to them. But, you know, these days, just about any public-facing organisation is going to be having interactions that where this kind of issue might be coming up for one of their clients. So I guess any organisation would benefit from this kind of training.
Look, I learn something at every session. I'm meant to be the trainer, and I learn something from every group. I remember I was at Westport, and I had a session where one of the deputy principal from a school came along, and I thought, gee, there must be nothing better to do in Westport rather than come to listen to me. Anyway, I sat there when we would do our introductions, and I wondered why a deputy principal would come along. And I asked her at the end of the session, "Did you get any value?" She said, "Yes." I said, "What happened?" She said, "Well, one, I'm a deputy principal, and the kids are playing the WWE games and UFC, and they're fighting and grabbing each other around the neck." She said, "Without upsetting the parents or the board of trustees, I want to make sure that we've got the right protocols and procedures inside the school." This was an intermediate school, that when we actually get kids with neck injuries, that we can speak to our school nurse and get the right protocols and processes in place to make sure our kids are safe. And I thought, well, good on you. I never thought about that. But yeah, so there's messages in it for almost anybody. And as I said, it's the sharing information with people that you care about. That's probably my main message. So it's the old story, you don't know what you don't know. One of the things while I focus on intimate partner violence, there's significant public, awareness, lack of awareness around what they call choking and sex. Now, I disagree that it should be called choking. Its definition is strangulation, and so I actually include some of that in my strangulation mini session. And the prevalence of that, according to the Australian US here, is it's in a majority of young people's relationships now. And all I'm saying is good people don't know this stuff. They don't know about short and long-term impacts of strangling and some of the behaviours that are going on. And so parents and other people need to join the conversation and need to understand how we can help.
Rob, when you come to Otipoti Dunedin and you run these courses and workshops, you've mentioned before that Dunedin Community House is a great base for you to be able to do that. You find the facilities here, everything you need?
Yes, yeah, it's good. And Rob, I've found Rob, the other Rob, who's the chief executive there, I found him very easy to deal with, fitted in no problem at all. Easy timetable. So as a provider, Community House is excellent. As I said, very easy to deal with, no problem for me. All the gear I need is there. I shouldn't comment on the rates. The rates are low compared to some of the other stuff around the country, which is good for me because I can keep my prices down, which means that hopefully price doesn't become an impediment for people to come along. That's what I like.
Rob, if any of our listeners out there are interested in hearing more about your work, getting in touch with you, what's the best thing to do?
One, it sounds a bit grand, but my business is called Robville Limited. It should have been called Robville Very Limited, really, because laughter is always good for the immune system. And in this space, sometimes you need a laugh. So my email address is robville@extra, no dots, no capitals, just R-O-B-V-E-A-L-E. And I've also got a website, robville.com. So as I said, it sounds terribly grand. It's not. I just went with the name. If you know my name, you can contact me. So plug it into Google and away you go.
Rob, it's been great to catch up with you today, just to scratch the surface of what is a massive topic, but some amazing work you're doing in this field. Now, just finally, for anybody out there right now, Rob, who might be experiencing or believe they're experiencing violence in their own relationships, what is the best thing for them to do right now?
Obviously, if it's serious, immediate danger, 111. Get hold of the police urgently. But there are a range of organisations like Women's Refuge. Otapoti Women's Refuge is a good place to start. For men that want help, the Stopping Violence Services, they would always be there. And there are probably, if you go to the... we used to have Yellow Pages. It shows how much of a dinosaur I am. If you go online, there's probably a directory of other services and helplines. There's some national helplines that people can go to. But I'd say Refuge, Stopping Violence Services are some of the places that I'd look to start.
Rob Veal, thanks for your time today, and thanks for joining us for House Guest. All the best with your continued work.
Yep, thank you very much, Jeff. Thanks for the opportunity, and good luck
Dunedin
to all your
Community
listeners.
House is a shared home for non-profits in the heart of Dunedin at 43 Princes Street, just off the Octagon. Are you interested in delivering for your community and need a desk, an office, storage or meeting space? Get in touch with us at Dunedin Community House on 03 471 6150. Email info@dch.org.nz or visit dch.org.nz for more information. We'd love you to join our community.
This podcast was produced by ORFM Dunedin with support from New Zealand On the Air.